5.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Psalm chapter number 95. If you have your Bible, say amen. I'm glad to be in Sunday school. I was reading this week, and it was an odd week, a different week for me, and I'm thankful for all the prayers and the support, everybody, the text messages, the phone calls. Listen, they did not go unnoticed, and I promise you, yesterday, the Lord answered each and every one of your prayers and got us through that difficult time. As not just a pastor, but being a family member of that, it wasn't fun. It wasn't easy, but I'm so thankful that God's grace does not change with my circumstance. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful we serve a God that's able to give grace in time of need, and that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? I'm thankful for Him this morning. Psalm chapter 95, when you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is whose, church? His. And He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." You know, I was reading this week, and I began to think of all the things that were going on around, all the hurt in our community. It seems like every time you turn around, something bad's happening in our eyes. And, you know, I started reading this, and it kind of reminded me that really and truly, none of this is about me or anybody else. This is all about Him. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. Nothing that happens, happens by accident. God has an appointed time for each and every one of us to meet Him one day. God has an appointed time for each and every one of us to die. He has an appointed time for each and every one of us to be judged. And the fact of the matter is, we're not going to change His appointment. Amen? And really and truly, as I sat there this week and I'm begging God, you know, what am I supposed to say at this funeral? What am I supposed to say to a hurting mom and a hurting dad and a hurting family? What do I say? He said to me, "What more could you say than to assure them where He is, and also to remind them that it's not a free pass for them to get where He is?" And so yesterday, I know many of you were able to, you cast your prayers out this week, and I mean, I promise you, your prayers were felt. And I thank you as your pastor. I'm so thankful that you thought about me in that time and my family. Thank you for everyone who did anything. But I'm telling you, at the beginning, it was kind of tough. And then my wife sang a song, and I'm telling you, immediately when we asked God in the name of Jesus to bind the devil yesterday, let me tell you something. I don't think I've ever seen the devil bound faster than yesterday. It was almost like he was trying to get his foot in, but we didn't want none of that. You know what I'm thankful for this morning? I'm thankful that this isn't about Drew. I'm thankful that this isn't about Miss Crystal. I'm thankful this isn't about Brother Tim. I'm thankful this isn't about Brother Joe. I'm thankful that this is all about Jesus. I'm so thankful that no matter what we go through, no matter where we are, who we know, who we're with, it's all about Jesus. We read this scripture. I love this. "In His hand," verse number 4, "are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills, they're His. The sea is His. He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." I thought to myself upon reading this, I've been saved now for just about 24 years. And I would hate to know that in the end of my days, that this was my story. That I knew about God, that I knew about God's ways, that I knew about how good God was and how good He's always been and how good He's always going to be. And at the end, I wasn't thankful. I took advantage of it. And maybe I didn't really know Him. So I thought to myself this morning, if there's something I've learned this week, is that I'm just not thankful enough. I'm just not thankful enough. You know, in the moment, a family's life was turned upside down. 1 minute, they're smiling, having a good time. The next minute, and I started thinking to myself, how much more thankful could I be for what God has given me? How much of what God has given me do I take for granted every single day? With the busyness of life and things going on around me, how often do I not take the time to just say, God, thank you for my wife. God, thank you for my children. Hey, I hate to say this, but I've been guilty of that. We get so busy and we think we take them for granted, and a day goes by, a couple days will go by, and you think to yourself, I haven't even gave God thanks for my children. Hey, there's people out there that would love to be able to have an opportunity to give God thanks for their children. Something the Lord showed me this week is I need to be more thankful. I need to give God more praise. I need to give God more worship. Because can I tell you this morning? He's worthy. He's worthy. If there's something that God's done for me this week, it's proven Himself real. Very real. Number one this morning, look in verse number one. The Bible says, O come, let us, what church? Let us what? You know, how many of you like to sing? Raise your hands. A lot of us like to sing. I mean, a lot of us might say, well, I'm not very good at it, but it doesn't change the fact. There's one of my favorite parts about church is when everybody sings together. I love it when the books are open. I said I love it when the books are open, not the TV screens are on. Y'all all right? We still Independent Fundamental Baptists here. I like it when the books are open and the piano's playing. Y'all okay? All right. I said I like it when the books are open. Hey, and I like it when we're all singing together and making melody and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I like it when young people come up and open their voices and lift up their voices to the Lord. I like it when young ladies and men get up behind a piano and they play the piano and they use their talents for the Lord and they just sing. Because why? Because He's worthy. I wonder how many of us this morning could say, Brother Drew, I could probably do that. Now you might not be out to sing a solo. But you know what I like? I like it when we're out here in the choir. Choir wasn't always my favorite thing. But I like it when we can smile together and sing together and lift up our voices together. And really and truly, it's not about us anyway. If you're singing to please somebody or singing to look good, stop singing. Because here's why you sing. You sing to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy. We don't worry about what other people think or what other people are going to say about us. We're not singing for them. We're singing for God. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We are to sing unto the Lord, but not just sing, but sing unto the Lord. It bothers me that there are people out there, and I know there's some really good singers out there, and I know they gotta do their thing on stage and look good, and let's just be real, some of them know they're good singers. They know it. There's no doubt. But it bothers me when they get in it for fame and fortune instead of just what they can do to give back to a God who gave the voice to them. Instead of just singing about Jesus and singing and making melody unto the Lord and being a blessing to God's people, they're doing it for fortune. They're doing it for fame. There's people out there now, good gospel singing groups that'll say, unless you got this many thousands of dollars, don't even call my phone. Hey, you know what? If God gave you the opportunity and the vision to use your voice as a ministry, because that's what it should be, amen? It should be a ministry unto God. And if God gave you that ability and that ministry, hey, you should go sing for free. Because God gave that to you. You could wake up tomorrow and be mute. Then who's going to pay you to sing? Whatever happened to just singing because we love Jesus? There is a name I love to hear. Sing it with me. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to singing unto God because, hey, he loves you. And he's worthy. You know, we're called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 1 and 2 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know what else we need to get back to? Serving the Lord with gladness. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what I'm sick and tired of? I'm sick and tired of Christians complaining that they got to go to church. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing that church is a problem, that church is getting in your way, that church is getting in the way of this and getting in the way of that. Hey, you ought to be thankful that you can go to church. I should introduce you to some missionaries who are in third world countries that we can't put on social media because if we do, their lives will be taken. I should introduce you to their people who are hiding underground with pages of the Bible, not even a whole Bible, because Lord knows if they get caught with that, they're dead. But they love God so much, they're willing to risk their life just to meet, to be with him. Whatever happened to that? I'll tell you what happened. We live in a spoiled country. We live in a place where we can do anything and everything we want. And we think, God, I'll have time for you when I have time for you. Well, let me tell you something. When you're in trial and when you're in your tribulation, you know who you're going to turn to? You're not going to turn to vacation. You're not going to turn to social media. You're not going to turn to sports. You're going to turn to God because you're going to realize that is where your true help is going to come from. Why do we have the mentality that church is not important? Folks, listen. Where are we at? Where are we at? And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. You're here because you want to be here. This is Sunday school. This ain't Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is Sunday school. This is disciplined people who got up early and chose to be in church. Amen. I like that and I appreciate that. And I want you to know I'm very thankful that you're here. But where's everyone else? Why is it that we can point out, yeah, we had 122 people in church, but we only had 60 in Sunday school? Where's the other 62 people? Y'all all right? I'm just saying. Hey, God just ain't that important to those people. Because if he was, where would they be? Right here in this house where they belong as Christians. The Bible teaches, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Amen? I don't know how to explain that any better than come to church when it's time to come to church. Don't plan stuff during church. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, I heard a preacher say one time, what if the preacher just called in Sunday morning and said, hey, we're going to the ball game today. We won't be here. What would everybody in the church think? Oh my gosh, preacher ain't coming to church. Hey, your expectation of a pastor should meet your commitment as a member. Amen? Is everybody okay? Hey, look, we're all God called. We're all saved. Amen? God gave us all the same rules. Amen. Hey, listen. I'm thankful that Thursday night we had people out here visiting, knocking on doors. I wasn't able to make it this week. I had some family things going on, but hey, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that people came out. One got bit by a dog. But you know what? Four little kids rode our van this morning from that house. Y'all okay? I'm thankful that faithfulness works. See, it don't always have to be just me and a couple more people. Hey, God blesses everybody. Y'all know what I'm saying? We had 13 young people on our van this morning. And just let me give you a heads up. That thing's only got 12 seats in it. We had to make two trips. Y'all read between the lines. Y'all know what that means? God's growing that ministry. That's a good problem, amen? He gave us some rooms. We asked him to fill them up. Guess what he's doing? Filling them up. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm thankful that God blesses faithfulness. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. But what about the ones that aren't? Hey, look, I'm not bashing them. I hurt for them. It's like Paul when he went back to the churches and he said, church, if I could just give you what I have, if I could just take you and give you the blessing that God has given me so that you could feel what you're missing out on, I would give you what God's given me, but it's their choice. They have to make a choice to be a part of this thing. Folks, I'm glad you're on board, and I'm glad I'm on board. But we should start serving the Lord with gladness. In other words, hey, I'm serving the Lord regardless of what happens. I'm doing what God told me to do. The outcome is up to the Lord. You just be thankful that God gave you the ability to get up, put your clothes on, drive to the church, work your ministry, pray for your ministry, be faithful in your ministry, and God will provide. Amen? He will. He always does. He always has. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord loves when we sing unto Him. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hey, you know what I like doing? Opening my Bible and singing. I like it that these little kids are learning Scripture by song. They're going to learn it a lot quicker singing it. I find myself often, when I can't quote something, a song will come to my mind, and I'm like, hey, I just sung Scripture. That was good. I like singing the Bible. I enjoy hiding God's word in my heart. David said that I might not sin against God. Hey, you want to know how to make your life different? You want to know how to be a better Christian? Start having a relationship with the author of the Bible, the Holy Ghost of God. Start reading the Bible. Start hiding God's word in your heart. David said that you might not sin against God. That I might not sin against thee. Hey, if you want to be better, you're going to have to take the medicine. Y'all okay? And I'm not talking about the world's medicine either. I'm talking about the permanent fix. Amen? The fix to all of our problems. We should learn to sing with grace in our hearts. Grace in our hearts toward others. Can I say this? Learn to give the grace that we have been given. Say, Brother Drew, what are you talking about? Well, take a little trip down memory's lane and think about who you used to be. How do we remember when you were lost? Anybody remember that far back? I mean, I remember my childhood, and I remember for those 2.5 years of being convicted, I remember the feeling, Brother Randy, of knowing that if I died, I was going to go to hell. I knew it. I knew it with all my heart. If I died, I was going to hell. Anybody remember that feeling? Not many people get saved the very first time they're convicted. But then I start thinking about the grace of God and how through that 2.5 years, anything could have happened. Oh, preacher, you were just a 7-year-old. No, no, hey, I just buried an 18-month-old. Don't tell me God's a respecter of persons, because He's not. The Bible teaches He's no respecter of persons. He's a just God. Y'all okay? He's a just God. I could have been gone in those 2.5 years, and I could be living in hell right now, waiting for the great white throne judgment to come out and then be destined to an eternal lake of fire. That's where I could have been, but for the grace of God, I'm not. You know what we ought to start doing? Ministering grace unto others. Instead of looking and judging them and wondering what in the world happened, hey, start ministering the grace that you expect to be given to you. See, here's where we are in life. We look at ourselves like people are going to respect me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't like to be disrespected, even if it's just like a... I'm talking about... Hey, did I tell you guys about the guy downtown that I drove by his house and he gave me the old one-finger salute? Well, this happened the other day. And me and Brother Joe were taking trash yesterday to the dumpster. And I said, Brother Joe, when we pass this house, this guy's going to give us a one-finger salute. Watch. Sure enough, I saw him sitting in a chair. Brother Joe said, he do that every time? I said, every time, Brother Joe. Well, what's wrong with him? I said, and when we went back by, Brother Joe had him a plan. he was going to tell him about Jesus out the window as we're driving by. Well, thank God he wasn't out there no more. He said, I was going to tell him he needed Jesus, Pastor. And hey, can I tell you something? As funny as that is, that's the right answer. The man needs Jesus. You know why he does that? Well, if you know his story, he lost his wife a few years ago. He's an alcoholic. And he's living in sin. He's doing what lost people do. And for me to be offended by that, by a lost soul that lives less than a mile from our church, hey, I better start ministering grace to that man, because the reality is he's going to die and go to hell without Jesus. Amen? What would happen if we showed him Jesus? I bet you his one-finger salute would turn into one of these right here. Y'all know what I'm saying? Hey, I've seen a lot of men and women come out of darkness into light, and instead of cursing God, they start praising God. That's what it ought to be. The Lord, verse number 2, the Bible says this, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all. The Lord is the rock of our salvation, which is why we can be sure that we are on a firm foundation. Can I say this morning? My salvation is in Jesus Christ. I made the statement yesterday, and I'll be honest, looking out and seeing what more than likely, judging by some of the testimonies of the family that are saved, I had many, many family members come to me and say, Brother Drew, please give the gospel. Please give the gospel. Please give the gospel. There must have been 100 people in here that needed Jesus yesterday. And as you look out across the room, you know, the longer you preach, the longer you start to read faces. And you start to read demeanors of people. And I'll tell you, one of the cue signs that I've learned over my years, and I've saw it, and I pay attention to things, is when you start preaching about the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost starts convicting, people start moving around. Start getting real uncomfortable. Start putting their head down. You know what that's called? Conviction. And man, you see that, and your heart breaks. And the world's lie is, don't worry, you'll see him again one day. Well, you have that opportunity. That's what I told him. But as a preacher, I'm not going to lie to them. They're not just going to die and go to heaven, right? Yeah. Who would I have been to lie to those people? I know they're hurting, but hell's a whole lot worse than this. Y'all okay? A whole lot worse than this. An eternal lake of fire, eternal separation from a holy God is a whole lot worse than this moment. So we told him. And just to see the heartache and the misery in the eyes of some of those men and women, just dark, lost. And you want to know the sadder part about this? This church yesterday was filled with lost people that, again, I'm not their judge, but you know, the Bible says you know them by the fruits. This church was filled with a bunch of lost people who really filled this church from just about a 20-mile radius of us. Y'all hear me? 20 miles. 100 lost people in our church in one day. Guess what? They got to hear the gospel. I'm so thankful that their blood's not on my hands, but here, what are you saying? I'm saying we have a great responsibility here. There are lost people everywhere. Everywhere, all around us. These young people that we bring on the van, hey, it does my heart good to see the men and women go up to them. And look, bus kids are just a different breed. I like them. They're my favorite kind of kids. I mean, next to my kids, but they're still, I just like them. You know why I like them? Because they're not set in their ways. I like them because they need something. You know what I'm saying? And I like it that we got something they need. And you know, it might cost us some cookies and some candy bars, but that's okay. One of them came up to me just now. He said, where's them Oreos you promised? I said, brother, junior church, okay? Junior church. Junior church is coming. Don't worry. He said, okay, that's fine. I said, good deal. But hey, 13 young people got out of bed this morning that weren't coming to church 2 weeks ago. 7 of them were here last week, came back week number 2. 6 more added. There were supposed to be 2 more, but we lost them at the last minute. That's okay, that happens. You know what, that doesn't discourage me. You know why? Because one of them said, hey, we slept in late, but I'm coming with her at the 11 o'clock hour. Y'all all right? Hey, I'd rather see their whole family here anyway. Praise the Lord. That's not going to stop me. But we have something that those little babies need. They're innocent, they're sweet, they smile, they're funny. Some of them's rude sometimes and rebellious. But they need Jesus. And that's why we're here. That's why we have a van. That's why we have a church. That's why we have classrooms. That's why we have teachers. That's why we preach the gospel. Amen? That's what this is all about, is making sure that they know the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Can I say this? When we come before the Lord, we should come already being thankful. I told you the Lord convicted me this week. We often come before the Lord in something like this. Lord, I have a need. You know what I'm talking about? And God, I'm really expecting you to meet this need. And if you meet it, I'm certainly going to be thankful. We even pray it like that. Lord, we'll be thankful for it. But why shouldn't we come to God like this? God, thank you for what you've done already. Thank you for being a good God. And God, if you never do anything else again, I've always got something to be thankful for. I can't go to hell. Y'all all right? But we're constantly looking for more and more and more and more and more and more and more, while all along we just forget what God's already done. You know what God likes? He likes your praise. He likes your gratitude. He likes your worship. He likes it when he sees his children acknowledge that he's a good God. Because regardless if we do that or not, he's still a good God. He knows that he's still a just God. But I don't know about you, this week, man, I've learned that this preacher needs to be more thankful. I need to show more gratitude. I need to be more thankful not to man, but to God. Because without him, I'm nothing. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God, right? Paraphrasing there. Hey, with God, all things are possible. I need to be more thankful. I need to come to him with a thankful heart. Not come to get thankful. We have plenty to be thankful for. That's just like coming to church to get right. Hey, why don't you come to church because you are right? You know what I'm saying? Why don't we get out of the mentality that I'm going to live like I want to all week and I'm going to go to church Sunday and get right? No, come to church because you're saved and God told you to come to church. That's why you come to church, ready to worship him. You don't come in here as a wicked vile with iniquity and sin in your heart, ready to worship God. No, waiting for the invitation. No, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, is what David said. Do it every single day. Come ready to worship him. Come ready to hear what God has for you. Come ready to receive with joy and thanksgiving in your hearts. Come ready to sing praises unto the Lord. Come ready to humble yourself if God calls you to an altar and pray. Come ready for that. Not to get right, but because you are right. See, the altar is not just for getting right. This is a place where you come and you weep. It's a place of worship. It's a place of praise. A place where tears are shed. Why? Because you're thankful that you're so unworthy, but God in his goodness, and that while we were yet sinners, chose to die. Sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die. Hey, if that don't make every single knee bend at one point in your life or another, I don't know what's wrong with you. And I can't fix you. But let me tell you this, and we're going to close. God is worthy today. He's worthy. He's worthy of my praise, and he's worthy of your praise. How thankful are you this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to meet with us in this next hour. Thank you so much, God, for the kids that came on the bus this morning. Lord, thank you for filling that thing up already. Lord, we're having to, Lord, drop kids off and go pick up more. Lord, what a blessing that is, that you are putting to work the construction project we just got built here. Now, Lord, you're filling that up. You're doing, Lord, we're by faith stepping out, and you just keep on working. And Lord, we just want to keep on being faithful so that you can continue to be to us, Lord, what you want to be to us. Lord, I don't want to miss out on the blessings. Lord, bless our community. Bless our family as our church families. Lord, be with us in this next hour in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.